Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue to talk about some of the basics of our approach to what we're learning here. And in general, when we come before God and want to learn from Him, we have to start with a clear understanding that we don't know. That there are things that God has revealed and God, things that we have brought to the table ourselves, our own history, our own temperament. But what you want to do is be able to assume that you need Him. You need to know that there's a relationship that you're building and that your hearing Him is part of this process of building relationship. And to be able to receive from Him what He wants to give, we come with the, again, the assumption, the clarity, the understanding that we lack. We lack understanding, we lack wisdom, we lack knowledge, which is why we seek Him, which is why we desire to know Him, is that we are lacking. Now, this is in our soul. In your spirit, you are not lacking. In your spirit, you know you have that wisdom, you have that knowledge, you have that understanding. So we are one with Him in our spirit. Our problem is our soul. And so one of the things we're going to be emphasizing is the practical things you can do to sharpen your soulical senses so you can receive what you have already received in your spirit. And what you receive in your soul is going to be a combination of information and relationship and power and authority that is in addition to what you already have in your soul, but also you're going to be losing the lies, you're going to be having your wounds healed, you're going to be having to let go of the strengths and the weaknesses in your soul that you have been relying on to give you the strength and the life that you needed before you became a living spirit. Now, again, before you became a living spirit, you needed your soul to do those tasks of giving your body life, giving you life. But now you're a living being, a living spirit, you don't need those, the soul, to try to do double duty. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions have a duty that God has given them, but it's not to do His job. And so now that you're again a living spirit, your spirit will do this, take care of the spiritual things, and your soul is to take care of the soulical things. But it's going to have to give up and learn to differentiate between those things that are soul and those things that are spirit. And that's what we're here to learn how to do. And again, there are practical things we can do, and we want to learn what those are and then be encouraged as we share what we're experiencing, what God is doing in us and through us. And one of the things that we'll find is that our expectations will have to change. We have this idea that the reason we need to hear from God is so that we can be ready for what He does tomorrow. And let me just assure you there is no way on your own you can be ready for what he's going to do tomorrow. But by simply letting him speak to you, hearing what he says, testing it, and following through with it, you can assuredly be ready for what he has for you tomorrow. We want to know what he's going to do so we can control our readiness, our being prepared. And he does not want that. He wants you relying on him. He will provide you the training. He will provide you the what you need to do to prepare for anything, for whatever your tomorrow holds. Doesn't matter what the circumstances in the world are. He wants you to be ready for what happens tomorrow, what happens a week from now, what happens for 5 minutes from now. He's not a trickster, but he does understand and know, and we're coming to learn that if he just leaves us, if he just quickens our spirit and then does not change our soul, our wounds will continue to control our life here on this earth, how much we can receive from him. And his desire for you, for me, for all of us, is that we be one, spirit, soul, and body. That would be, we are not a distinct spirit, a distinct soul, and a distinct body, but the soul and the body come under and within the spirit, and we are controlled as a spirit being within God, connected to him. This is the way Jesus walked around on this earth. Now, there were others that have done this, and that was Adam and Eve. They walked around. They were with God and with each other, and they knew each other as spirit beings. Their soul was aligned with their spirit, and their body was aligned with their soul. When they died in their spirit, their soul and their body had to take over. And that is what's been passed down ever up until Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus had to be born of God, to break that heritage so that he did not inherit that sin that was death in the spirit. So he was born just as Adam was, a living spirit. Now you and I became living spirits. But other than that, we can now follow the example of how Jesus learned to live as a spirit being, bringing his soul and his body into alignment. You know, he had to learn, just as we learn. He had to learn obedience, discipline, acceptance, but he learned those things directly from his father. He didn't learn them from a rabbi. He didn't learn them from even his parents. He learned, because he was spirit being all, from the very beginning, how to hear his father, recognize his voice, and respond. And that's what we can do too. Now, you and I are not going to have the same purpose. There was only one Messiah. There's only one, the need for one Messiah. And that was done. Okay, check that box. We don't need another Messiah, another Lamb of God born sinless. That's done. But God does have tasks for you and I to do on this earth so we can accomplish our purpose of becoming one. So we don't need to be distracted by, okay, I need to be in the center of the will of God. I need to be know what my purpose is so I can be doing it. I can tell you right now what your purpose is. Your purpose is to know God, to be healed, to be in relationship with him. All these other tasks, ministry, relationships, dealing with life, all these other assignments that God gives you are for accomplishing the purpose. Getting your wounds healed, learning to hear from God, having that relationship with Him, bringing your soul into subjection to your spirit. So your purpose isn't the question. It's, are you spending time with Him on your purpose and recognizing that all these projects aren't nearly as important to God as you think they are? Your ministry isn't nearly as important to God as you think they are. You're important to God. You're what He's all about in your life. He's arranging every circumstance in your life for you. Not so you can then turn around and glorify God. He's not like thinking, oh, I haven't been glorified enough today. Who can I get to glorify me? He's never needy. He's always full and content and entire. He never needs something from us. He doesn't need honor or glory or worship even. Now, we get to do that, and that's part of our new nature. But He doesn't need that. He doesn't need our input. He doesn't need, you know, a prayer line of 500, and if there's only 499, He's not going to do something. He's already determined what He's going to do, when, where, and how. He wants us involved in it. Again, this goes back to His nature, His basic nature. Now, we say God is love. What does that look like? How does that express itself? Love gives. Now, God can't give to Himself. That's just, you know, one of those circles, you know, that constantly goes around and around and around. He's already there. He already has everything. How can He give it? So He created us to share Himself with, to reveal Himself to. And He wants us to be able to receive everything He wants to give us. That's the simplicity of His purpose. That we would be with Him. And it's not in the sweet by and by. Just as when Jesus was here, God, His Father, revealed Himself to Him on a moment-by-moment basis, on a situation and circumstance basis. He didn't say, Jesus, okay, I put you here on this earth, finish your project, being the Messiah, and then once you're resurrected and with my throne, then you can be with me. It's like, no. Even as He told, I think it was Peter, you know, Peter said, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you that you don't even recognize Him? He and the Father were one. And you and I, in our spirits, are one with Him. Our problem, again, is that separation, that distinction between our spirit and our soul. So this is why, remember, your soul has had to do the work of the spirit before you became a living spirit. And part of our problem is after we become a Christian, we continue to rely on our soul to do the same work, to do the work of the spirit. So we come instead to knowing God empty and saying, God, I'm willing to let you change my beliefs, to teach me of you, to reveal to me who and what you are. I'm willing to let go of whatever you want me to let go and embrace whatever you want to show me. Now, God is a loving and patient and thoughtful God. And He knows how we're made and what we need to know in order to accept these things. He's patient and He understands how we're made. He made us that way. So we can be confident that He's not out to trick us. One of the big problems we have is we're afraid of being deceived. Don't worry about it. In a sense, we can say we are all deceived because there's things that we believe that are not true. Because God hasn't revealed all truth to us yet. He's in the process of it. But guess what? That's the whole concept of learning. The more time you spend with him, you will find he reveals truth to you. So one day, he reveals a truth to you that you didn't know the day before. So you didn't know something. It was veiled, or you maybe even believed the total opposite. That's really our deception, is we think we know what we know. And that's where we start today. This is number three of our guides. Most of us don't know what we believe. And a lot of what we believe has simply been passed down. We go to the same church our parents went to or not. We believe about God what we've been exposed to. You know, whether it's through a movie or through our educational system or our neighbor, we believe what we've been told about God to be the truth. But because we just absorb it, we never stop to question it. We never stop and go, now, is that really true? And so we don't stop and really filter the information as it comes in to decide if we're going to believe it or not. We simply accept it, and it becomes a part of our belief. So this is what we want to start with questioning. It's okay to question everything you believe. Everything. Because that which is truth from God for us at this time will stand up to that questioning. For instance, if you questioned how Jesus came to earth, if he really existed, if he's alive today, if the resurrection happened, if there are miracles, if there is a God, those are good questions. Questions come from God. It's when we're satisfied where we're at that that's a real concern. Because God wants, those questions are already there. And God wants to answer them. That which doesn't stand up to the light of day, it's not bringing us life. So those things that we are believing about God, you know, we have to please him. The more we please him, the more he will bless us. When we find out that that's not how God works, that God loves us with unconditional love, and what that really means, well, wait a minute, you mean I don't have to do anything and he's still going to love me? Well, then why would I do anything? Well, these are good questions. But the questions go to God, not our own intellect, not our pastor, not even going to the scriptures. Now, he may use all those, but we go to God first. So sometimes he might just say, look, this is not necessary for you to be concerned about now. And he may just give us a peace instead of answering a question. Or he may say, well, I'm just going to tell you right now what you've been believing in this area is just not true. And let it go. And so our job then is to let it go. Now, God is practical. So we, too, need to be practical. And there are things we can do and things we can stop doing that we can cooperate with God in what he is doing in our lives. God wants us to be involved in what he is doing in our lives, in this world, and in his plans for this time frame, again, for ourselves and for our lives, for what's going on in the world. But they aren't dependent on us. He's going to do what he's going to do. He sent the Messiah, not because people prayed for the Messiah, but because it was time. There are times and seasons, and God knows what they are. And sometimes he reveals them to us. And the more you hear him clearly, and the more he can trust you with secrets that you can keep your mouth shut, he loves to share his secrets. But guess what? If they're a secret, he doesn't want you blabbing them. So can you keep a secret? And the more he finds you trustworthy, the more he shares his secrets. So there are many things he wants to do in each one of us. And we never know when we're in those one of those time periods where he's doing, where he's making rapid changes. One of the reasons when Jesus was walking around is that people flocked to him is they recognized it was one of those shifts in the eons, in the ages, in the time frames on this earth, and that that time frame was wrapped in a fleshly form. They saw God. It wasn't just what he said. It was the power and authority and life and truth that were in the Word. And he could prove that his words were from God by his actions. You know, when you think he said, to prove that I can forgive sin, I'm going to heal this person. That was before the resurrection. That was before the crucifixion. He could forgive sin before he paid the price. We have some real doctrinal issues we need to really question about whether we have put God in a little box. But recognizing the times and the seasons for our own lives and being able to go, okay, God, whatever you want to do, I'm up for it because I know you will have me ready. I know you will provide the training I need. And as fast as I need it. So the key is following Jesus, flocking to him, not a doctrine, a belief, or a teaching, but recognizing him. Now just sitting back, wherever you're at, and if you want to shut your eyes and just listen, God is right there with you. There's a chair nearby. He's right there. If you're driving, he's in the seat next to you. That's how far he is. You don't need to wait till you get home to talk to him. You don't need to be in the right place at the right time to be in his presence. You're in his presence now. And he is present with you and in you now. God created time. So if you are in time, you are in God. And he can take and ban time. This is another trick that whether we use it on ourselves or for ourselves, or very often we give the devil and the world system enemy, they're opportunistic. We have a tendency to be very negative about ourselves, that we've missed out, that we're too late. And yet, when you give God a minute, he can expand it to be 50 years. So you can make up in 1 minute what you think you've lost in 50 years. It's all about flocking to Jesus, running to him, recognizing where the life is, where that eternal life is. He is the kingdom. Enter it now. Don't worry about building it. It's been built. Simply enter it and then enjoy his presence. And all these tasks just fall into line. Some of them are really hard, and some of them are really scary. Giving up what we believe, what's going to take its place? What if we fail? Nobody else believes this. How come I'm the only one that God's told this about? Doesn't matter. Flock to Jesus. And test what you're hearing. In the sense, we could look at that whole period of when he was in the wilderness. That's what he was learning how to do, was test what he was hearing, to be able to distinguish between what he heard from his father and all of the voices. Because, you know, that's the only thing you need to learn, is it God? Is it from him? Secondarily, you'll find out whether it's from your flesh, a demonic intrusion, or even the world system. Just learning, is it from God or is it from your enemies? So it's not that complicated. You don't need to get a degree in it. You don't need to read 100 books or have 100 people pray for you or get a special anointing. Just hearing his voice, and he will sharpen your hearing. So, again, we are practical. We learn this is what we're here for. So he's made a way for it to work. We spend time with him, do these practical things. They work because he wants them to. He made them to. It's like stepping on the gas on your car will make it go forward. That's the way it was made. And he knows how we're made. Now, what do we get out of that? When we understand that just as when Jesus was here, he walked around as a whole being, spirit, soul, and body, we now have had our spirit renewed. So we can walk around the same way, spirit, soul, and body. And the fact that Jesus said, greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. We haven't done either part of that. We still don't understand. Because he went to the Father, he has released that position. There's now an opportunity for us to be as he was here on this earth. And yet we can't even do the greater things. And we think, what's the greatest thing we could say that he did? I'd personally say he raised the dead. That, to me, is a pretty good testimony of the power and authority of God. And yet, how often do we see that happening? Probably greater than that would be to be able to put your hands on a hospital and have everybody healed. But even in the first and second century, there were testimonies of people, Christians, walking through cemeteries and people raising from the dead. So that's even been done. And yet, how far are we from that? But wholeness, freedom, and life are God's provision for us now. He wants you whole, complete, entire. And he is not going to let you miss out on what he has for you. He draws us by his goodness. Not by the fear of what will happen to us if we miss him. He wants us to pursue him because we love him and because we have confidence that he is making us whole and free and alive now. So we'll pick it up here next week. Feel free to drop me a line if you have any questions at diane@therainersclub.org. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.